I appreciate all of you who have come out today, physically, even through the snowstorm, decided I'm still going to go show up. Even those online who are sitting at home still said, you know what, I'm going to log in, I'm going to show up. And that's where the Lord could show up in our lives, when we're present, when we're available, when we don't have the answers, but we just say, you know what, I'm here for it. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. And that's what, as we open these scriptures today, just be here for it and listen, and maybe God will show you something. We're going to be looking at John, the ending of John 6. I've been struck by these verses, and really the whole book of John lately. I had the privilege with some of you even in here, and some others from different walks of life, to just open the book of John and read it. And not much commentary, but just to read it out loud and to just sit with it. And it's been fascinating reading it to, again, different people who are at different stages, maybe just seeking out the Lord, and maybe those who have been at it for a while. And whenever I'm in the position to, with new people like that, I kind of try to see the scriptures as if I'm reading it for the first time. If this is all new to me, if I haven't come to believe this yet, how would I think about these verses? And going through the book of John, there's been a few parts where I'm like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of difficult to understand. And that's kind of the situation we'll see these disciples are in here, is the Lord is going through a progression, trying to reveal himself, show a new character about his attributes to them, and they're having a difficult time with it. So we're going to pick up in verse 60, just reading the conclusion, focus on the reactions of all those who are involved here. John 6, verse 60 says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who could hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will you also go away?' Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?' He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was the one who should betray him." Let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you that you are here in the midst. And Lord, I just thank you that you're already moving, you're already working. And Lord, I thank you even this morning, all the thoughts and the ideas that came about who you are. And I pray that you would just continue to speak to us, that we would just sit with it and be present and hear what you have to say. I pray that you would put all the pieces together, fill up the gaps in our lives, Lord, that only you can. You have things for us that only you know. So Lord, pour it out today. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. So the first thing you notice in this passage is that it says many of his disciples. So these were people who had been following Jesus for a little while. It's relevant to us, following Christ for a little while. And as we go through the book of John, as we were even talking about this morning, this idea of believe came out a lot. And if you go to any passage in this book, I've been struck by the amount of times it will say, the passage will go and it will say, many believed, or it will say, only a few believed, or it will say, Jesus was unable to do many works there because of their unbelief. And it's interesting looking back through some of the passages, and it's like, why did so many believe there and then get mad at him for saying this? Or why did he say something so powerful and then people are walking away? So that was the thought that I had going into this reaction of his disciples, the ones who had been following him, is why, after the things he has already done, are they now at a crossroads saying this is a difficult saying? So let's go into, they say this is a hard saying. So what was the saying? So chapter 6, it's a long chapter. You have the feeding of the 5,000. You have that fantastic miracle of the Lord taking a boy's lunch and feeding a whole multitude with it. And then you have Jesus performing miracles starting throughout his ministry, and people are seeing it, people are following him for the signs. And now there's a transition to where the Lord wants to now not just give you signs and miracles, but will you believe me just for the word's sake? So in John 6, verse 30, the people say unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What thou does work. So they are looking for a sign. They're looking for something physical, another miracle like they just saw with the feeding of the 5,000. They're thinking, oh, I liked how he did that. Maybe he could do that again. I'm starting to feel a little hungry. And Jesus makes this shift where he goes into talking about how he is the bread of life. How he doesn't want to just give you physical things, but he wants you to constantly seek him, to hunger and thirst after righteousness and not just the signs and the wonders that he could do. And the disciples are kind of thrown off by this. They say that this is a hard saying. If you look at that word hard in the Greek, the meaning there, and don't miss this, is difficult to accept, which is distinguished from difficult to understand. So these people knew exactly what the Lord was saying. They understood clearly what the Lord was calling them to do, and they had difficulty accepting it. I wonder if the Lord has been calling us in different areas, and we know that he's calling us to go there, and we're having difficulty accepting it. Again, the saying that he was saying, we read it earlier, we'll read it again in 53 and 54. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Remember, if you're hearing this for the first time, it is kind of weird. Okay, you just saw him do miracles. You saw him turn the loaves and the fish into a huge meal. But now he's saying, eat my flesh? It kind of throws you off a little bit. But it's something that for us, like, we just did it. We do it every week. We come and we have the elements, the bread, we have the cup, and we take it and we accept it. We know what it is. We know the spiritual significance of it. It's something that's so normal and natural to us. But for them, it was something completely new. And the Lord, again, he's trying to transition and show them a new characteristic about himself, something to elevate their relationship with him. So they're saying, this is difficult to accept. I liked when you were doing the miracles. I don't like when you're talking about eating your flesh. So Jesus' reaction throughout this whole passage is kind of intriguing because he asks four questions. And whenever the Lord asks questions, it kind of gets you thinking because he knows all the answers. So why would he be asking questions? And the way he responds to this saying kind of doesn't seem right. Like, he goes through this long saying in the previous section about the bread of life, how he is the bread of life. He sees that his disciples are having difficulty with it. And instead of being like, you know what, we'll pick it up tomorrow. I see that you guys are full, you guys are struggling with it. Take a day, think about it, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Or you would think, okay, you're not understanding it this way. Let me explain it a different way. There's so many different ways you think about a normal teacher, how they would adjust to a situation like this. So it seems odd that he comes right at them and says, like, really? This offends you? Does this offend you? And I wonder if Christ has ever offended you. Have you ever been in a situation where you had your expectations of what it was like to follow Christ, and now you're seeking him, and he shows up with something you've never seen before? It could be offensive. It could challenge you. Does this offend you? I think we all need to admit, whatever stage of our walk that we are with the Lord, whether we're just seeking him, whether we're just saved, we just started believing, or whether we've been at this for a while, I think we need to accept that our expectations of what it was like to follow Christ are nothing like we first thought it was going to be like. Right, my relationship with the Lord, my view of who the character of the Lord was at 10 years old, is nothing like how it is now. And the Lord is always moving. The Lord is always trying to show us new aspects of who he is. And sometimes we put limits on, you know what, this is what God is. This is all that God is. Something that's really fascinating to me is, we'll take the ocean, for example. Just one aspect of the earth. Just one aspect of all of creation, the ocean. Not even the whole earth, not even the whole atmosphere, whatever. Just one aspect. It is said that if you take all the knowledge that we have of all the scientists, all the work they've done in trying to learn about the ocean, that we know about 5% about what's going on in our oceans. It's said that even less we know about space. But for some reason, we think we know it all when it comes to the God who created it. We know so little about the things that he made, but for some reason, we put these limits on God and say, you know what, that's all he is. That's all. We even see it in our prayers sometimes. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And the Lord's like, I have 1,000 other ways I could answer that prayer. And maybe I want to show you a different way this time. So when he says, does this offend you? I see it as he's challenging his disciples in this moment. They're at a place where maybe they feel stuck. And the Lord is giving them something new. And it's said that whenever challenges come up, it will cause some to fold and it will cause some to focus. But you can't stay stuck forever. So the Lord here is trying to elevate their relationship with him. The Lord is trying to do that in each and every one of your lives as well. When challenges come, when things new show up unexpectedly, when you've been praying to the Lord for something and something out of nowhere seems to come up, and you know it's God. They knew it was God. They said, this is a hard saying. They know what he's saying, but they said, it's difficult to accept. At that moment, are you going to say, you know what, I'm here for it. I don't understand it. It's unknown. It's new. But you know what, I'm going to follow Christ and see what he has in store. Or am I going to fold? And we saw it, as we read earlier, many of them walked away. The next verse, I really like the Lord's response with this one. He says, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Kind of the same idea. Remember, he's challenging them to grow. And in this, so he's challenging them. Let's go back to John 3 for a moment before we dive into that. Just one verse in John 3 that as I was reading this, they kind of seem similar to me. John 3 and verse 12 says, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And here you have the Lord saying, what if you should see me ascend up where I was before? What if I wanted to show you something you have never seen before? What if I wanted to bring you to a new level in your walk with the Lord and to use your characteristics, to use your gifts? Would you let him? Again, only you know that answer. Only you know your walk with the Lord. But just think about that for a moment. If he spoke to you and said, what if I wanted to bring you somewhere you've never seen before? Would you be ready for it? Would you rise up and focus? Or would you fold under the pressure? And he says, what if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Basically, he's saying, and I think this is kind of cool, he's saying, if you're not going to believe the words that I'm saying, if you're not going to use the gifts I have given you for the kingdom of God, if you're not going to constantly seek to please God, if you're not going to walk in a manner that uses those things to strive, to hunger and thirst, to pursue righteousness, he's saying, I might as well go back up to heaven, sit down at the right hand of God, and let's just be done with this. He's basically saying, if you aren't going to take on this responsibility, then what are we doing here? And I think that's a question a lot of us need to come face to face with is, you know what, have I even really grown in my relationship with the Lord? Or is it exactly the same how it was 5 years ago? Have I done anything where the Lord is calling me today, this week, this afternoon? It could be small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. But are we seeking more from our Lord and Savior? Or are we just comfortable? Are we just comfortable? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What if God wanted to do a mighty work in your life? Are you willing to receive it? Verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that do not believe." So the Lord here, again, remember, it's a progression. The Lord's ministry was a progression. He started with miracles first, and now he's transitioning to, can you believe me for the word's sake? And here he mentions the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit has not come down yet. That the Lord has not been crucified, he did not rise again and send the Spirit. But he's getting them in that mindset ready for when, you know what, when I'm physically not here, in a little while, when I'm gone, are you going to be ready to receive the Spirit and to continue the work? Or is it once I'm gone physically, you're going to turn back anyway? So again, he's getting them ready for when that time does come. And basically, he says the flesh isn't going to profit you at all. Think about the gifts you have, the talents you have, all those things that are God-given. If you're just going to do it from your own mental capacity, from your own physical characteristics, and just say, you know what, this is all me doing this, you're not going to go anywhere. It is God's gifts that he has put in your life, but you cannot do them without the giver. Sometimes I think we forget that. That we almost have to prove that the things that are special or unique about us, our strengths in our life, that we have to do them all on our own. And the Lord is saying, no, work with me. I put it inside of you. I know what it's capable of doing. I know where it could go that you may not know. Even think about our gifts. Sometimes we think we only have one, and for all of our life, that's all we're going to do. I was struck by a conversation I had recently with someone around my age who we were talking, and they had said, isn't it crazy how, so we're in our 20s, and they said, isn't it crazy how when we're in our 40s, the people who are our best friends, we haven't even met yet. The people who we are going to spend so much time with on a regular basis and share things with, we don't even know anything about them yet. And it got me thinking about our gifts, that there's things in our lives, there's things that God wants to use that you don't even know about yet, that He does. I think about even myself, as far as standing here and speaking to you. It took me 17, 18 years of being a Christian, of following Him, to finally get on a stage and realize, you know what, that's one of my things. But I would have never known that if I said, you know what, I just have this other gift, that's all I'm capable of. That's how it's always been, that's how it's always going to be. Remember, God could take you to new heights, to new things with Him. What if God is calling you to something bigger, better, just different than what you've ever seen? We talked even this morning. It doesn't have to be these big, miraculous things in our lives, but it could just be different. He could just be calling you, you know what? This is what your expectations were have been for so long. This is what your limitations were. And you've capped it off here, but I want to take you so much farther. Are we pursuing those things in Christ? And if we're going to be honest, like, we already got it. Like, if you believe that Christ died, that He's your Savior, that He rose again, He did it all for you, for your sins, if you believe that and you have that gift of salvation, that gift of eternal life, then 100% you're locked in, you're going to heaven. If it all fell apart today, you're good. So the fact that you're still here means that, okay, now I got to work in it. And just think about what the enemy could do with that. Think about it that way. If you're already good, if you're already going to heaven, the only thing that he could do is to make you stop, to make you feel stuck, to make you turn around and go back, to make you do anything other than seek the things the Lord has for you and to proclaim that, you know what, God did it. So just think about that the next time you feel stuck, the next time maybe you feel hindered, the next time maybe you think, you know what, it's just the same old thing day after day after day. That's the only thing that the enemy could do to you is to prevent you from sharing the truth about who Jesus is, to get more people to add it to the kingdom. You're already set. You're already good. You're already victorious. And now just run with that. And sometimes it's going to be tough. It's going to feel like you're going upstream a lot, because everything's going to be coming against you. One preacher says, when you try to make a change in your life, when you try to really dive into what the Lord is doing, and you really just go for it, that's when all hell breaks loose in your life. Because the enemy doesn't want you to know how awesome the Lord could do things in your life. Again, you can't do it on your own, though. There's nothing you could do. In James, it says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Every single thing that you do, does it reflect back to Christ? You can't do your gifts. You can't live your talents without the one who gave them to you. Do you have that relationship that you're going back and forth constantly and saying, you know what, I'm good at this. I'm giving it back to you because you could open up the doors more than I can. Because I don't understand it. I get scared. I doubt it. I want to turn around and go back. But it's in those moments sometimes where you have to get to your emptiest breaking point, your lowest point, to realize, you know what? God still got me here. And that's when his strength takes over, and that's when he shows you a new way. I don't know if you remember a few, probably about a year or so ago, we were talking about the parting of the Red Sea, how the Lord was leading, and he leads them into a dead end, surrounded by the sea, knowing that the Egyptians are right on their tail, coming to chase them down. And it's like, why would you lead me to a dead end? Why would you do all of this just for it to end here? And what happens is the Lord opens up the Red Sea, something that you would have never even considered, never even thought of. Sometimes when you're at a dead end, you can kind of start to get excited because, you know what, the only way for me to get out of this one is God's going to show himself in some new powerful way. Just because you're stuck doesn't mean you're done. God's just getting started. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Again, the Lord is just going right at him. If we're thinking a normal teacher approach, we're thinking, okay, give him some time to think about it. Come at it from a different angle. Whatever you got to do to get this to them. But instead, the Lord knows what they're dealing with in their unbelief. And he's coming and challenging them, coming for it. You know what? If you're not going to believe now, you're never going to believe, essentially. And he's challenging them. Again, when you get challenged by the Lord, it's not for punishment. It's not for whatever it may be. Sometimes I think we get in this mindset as Christians for some reason that, oh, if you do good, good things are going to happen to you. If you do bad, bad things are going to happen to you. And that's just not the case. Sometimes the Lord brings us to those situations or allows things to happen, and it's like, what are you doing? But then he shows up and gives you a new way, something that you never thought of, something that he's bringing you into. It doesn't just stay here. Your walk with the Lord today, it can't just stay here. If it's just going to stay there, that's why the Lord says, I might as well just go back up to heaven in this passage. You might as well just be done with it. But dive back in and pursue the things that the Lord is doing. He says, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Again, he's just kind of pointing out the relationship between him and the Father, our one, getting them ready for when he is physically no longer going to be with them. He's going to go back to his Father, and the Lord is calling them out. Sometimes the Lord is just going to show up and call you out. But that's why we come to church, right? Don't just come to church just for the sake of, oh, you know, it's probably the right thing to do. At least I'm here, basically. If you're going to be here, you might as well be be here. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And sometimes when you're present, when you're there for it, God can now give you what you need to carry on. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. That from that time can also be translated because of this. And if you just thinking right there, you're almost like, Lord, why would you be so harsh with them? Why would you challenge them like that? If you knew they had unbelief, why wouldn't you just show them a different version or dumb it down a little bit? Because now they're gone. But again, look at that. From this time or because of this, many of his disciples went back. Disciples, remember, people who are following Christ. You are his disciples. Every day, you have the option. Am I going to follow the Lord today? Am I going to be comfortable? Or am I just going to turn around and go back? And they walk no more with him. So now it changes a little bit because you have most of the disciples. So a lot of people just left. And if you think about it, I'm sure there's a lot of people in there that were struggling with it, but kind of just saw the others, the masses leaving, and said, you know what, majority rules, I should probably go with them too. I'm sure there's a lot of them, it doesn't say, but as they're walking away thinking, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have walked away. And again, it doesn't really say, but you could imagine that there were going to be those who did turn around and come back at some point. Right? One of those characteristics of the Lord is restoration. So there is opportunity to come back if you have gone back around. You could always come back. And that's what makes that verse so fascinating, where he says, what if I just go back up to heaven, is the fact that he doesn't do that in this moment. He says he could. He could just abandon them, but he doesn't. He stays put. So again, up to this point, he's already a little harsh, straightforward with them. And now he turns to the 12 and says, will you also go away? Again, after seeing so many leave, if it was one of us, we probably would have been like trying to do everything to make those 12 stay. And just thinking like, why did I shouldn't have said that, but you guys are still here, like, what do you guys want to talk about now? But instead, he goes right even deeper to even the ones who stay. I was intrigued by, I was watching an interview with a rookie football player this year, and he started doing very well. He was close to breaking records. He was outperforming anything anyone had expected of him. Again, first year in the league, sometimes you draft a guy and he doesn't really perform, or he takes some time to get used to it. But this guy, right from the beginning, came into the league and made a difference for his team. And in the interview, he was saying how throughout the season, he got to the point where maybe week five, week six, and his coaches just kept getting tougher and tougher and tougher on him. And every little thing that he was doing, they were pointing out. They were correcting everything. They weren't giving him any type of praise. And here he is, close to the record books in some categories. And finally, like, he's getting discouraged. He's like, what am I doing wrong? Like the results are speaking for themselves here. And finally, someone like came up to him and was like, do you not understand what they're doing? They're like, if you if they keep giving, if like they just started giving you praise and said how good you were and all of this, then you're just going to stay at that level. But they're challenging you, they're pushing you so that you don't just stay stuck there, but you constantly keep progressing. I think that happens a lot in sports, is where you have the star athlete and they think, oh, they're outshining everyone, they're good. But if they accept themselves, they're just going to always stay there. There's always something to be working on to even better their game, to even more elevate it. And that's kind of the same impression I'm getting here with the Lord, is that, you know what, you're good. Like, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But if I don't challenge you, you're always just going to stay in this plateau of your relationship with the Lord. So that's why the Lord keeps coming, keep coming. Not because of anything they did wrong, but in fact, it could have even been because of their belief and because of things that they were doing right, that the Lord says, I've seen the things that you've been doing. I want to take you even further. Again, you have no understanding about how big and how drastic the things God could do in your life. It's going to be step by step, but there comes a point where everyone's going to come to the stage where, you know what, should I take another step? Again, these were disciples. For these earlier people, they got to a point where they said, you know, this is as far as I go. And maybe you're at that point too. Maybe you're sitting in church saying, oh, you know what, I like the singing. I like seeing my friends. But my relationship with the Lord, as far as being a Christian, that's as far as I go. Everyone sitting around here today, everyone online, is at a different stage. And there are some who are right here stuck. And the Lord is saying, I want you to have a better relationship with me. I want you to achieve more in me. Are you going to rise up to it? Or are you going to turn around and walk away? So he says this to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It never says anywhere that the 12 that stayed, that it wasn't difficult for them either. In fact, it says Simon Peter answered. And a lot of Bible teachers will agree that when you see Simon Peter together, Simon being the old nature, Peter being the new name that the Lord called him. Whenever you see Simon Peter, usually it means that there's an inner conflict going on. And it's Simon Peter who answers. It never says that they didn't have difficulty accepting this either. It was a hard saying. It was something new. It was something unexpected. It was something challenging. And I like how his first response is, Lord, to whom shall we go? He doesn't start with, of course we believe. He basically is admitting, you know what? There's nowhere else to go. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's hard. I don't fully understand it. We don't fully get it. Again, Peter is kind of the spokesperson for these disciples. We talked about Thomas earlier, where Peter is speaking for all of the disciples. And again, it doesn't say, but there's reason to believe there could have been one or two among these 12 that were ready to walk away with the multitudes until Peter said, where else would we go? They had the same situation thrown at them, the same hard saying, and they have to make that choice. Maybe it's unknown. Maybe it's a little weird. Maybe I don't fully get it, but I'm here for it. And then the Lord can do a mighty work from there. And then he goes into, and we believe and we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, he never even says, we believe you're the bread of life. Where the saying all started from. And I think that's sometimes when God shows up in our lives, when God challenges us, when God offends us, can we sit there and still say, you know what, you're the Christ, you have the words of eternal life, I believe in you, I have no clue what you're doing in this situation. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. In my physical understanding, in my doubt, in my insecurity, I want to turn around and go back. But because I know that you are the Christ, I'm going to stay present for it. And that's what Peter does, that, and he speaks up for the 12. And then again, you have another question, another response from the Lord. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? You would think, again, you would think that Jesus would say, oh, thank goodness that you guys aren't leaving me too. Good job, Peter, for understanding that, like, I'm the Son of God and all that. Like, you passed the test. He never even gives him that affirmation. He just goes, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is going to betray me. Never even tells Peter, that's what I was looking to hear, or anything like that. Again, he's constantly raising the standard. Is he trying to raise the standard in your life, and you're not getting anywhere, and you feel stuck because you're sitting there thinking, this offends me? The Lord is trying to show you and open up doors to your understanding that you've never seen before, and you're not able to walk through them because you're thinking, this offends me. That's what happened here. The multitudes walked away. Only a few stayed. One of them was going to betray him in the end. And that's the Christian life sometimes. Yes, many would be saved. Many of his disciples believed that he was the Son of God. But only a select few are going to be able to stand there and constantly allow the Lord to keep moving in their lives. Are you going to be one of the few? When God puts challenges in your lives, it is not for you to fold, not for you to crumble under the pressure. Maybe it is to empty you, to get you to a place to say, you know what, I've been fighting this one way too much in my flesh. I need your spirit to take over for this one. But it, when things show up on your door, it's not always going to be easy. And it's not always going to be just a clear, straight path. And sometimes I think we're waiting, or when we say we're waiting for the Lord to make it so clear. And all that God is showing us is that one next step and saying, can you take this one? And I might not even give you a compliment if you take that one. I may challenge you to take another one. Not because you did anything wrong, but because I want to make you so much stronger. I want to make you so much more profitable for the kingdom of heaven. What if God wants to show up and do something new in your life? So even if you go now to chapter 8, there's a few verses in there that I just want to read quick as we close. We'll pick it up in 30. He says, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. This is following the passage we just read, where he was transitioning them from seeing just the works to now the word. Can you believe just the word? Can you just stay present even when you say amen and the situations are still chaotic going on around you and say, you know what, I'm still here for it. I still believe the word. I'm still going to see this one through. And then even in verse 43, it says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Only you know your walk with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord. He's trying to speak things into your life at all times. That's something we've been talking about a lot lately, is understanding that God desires for you to be successful, that he desires to give you good gifts, that he desires to show up and be present and be the God of your life. But sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes it does get difficult. Sometimes it does get hard. Can you, in those moments, admit, you know what, this is a difficult saying. I may not even want to accept it right now, but I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to go back. I'm here for it. Lord, show up. Continue to do your thing. And then we'll end just on verse 36 of chapter 8. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What if the Lord wants to make you free today? Yes, you've been saved. Yes, you've been a Christian. Yes, you've been walking in the things of the Lord for a while. But maybe you're stuck in one situation that you've come to accept that that's how it's always going to be. And the Lord says, today, right now, that thing that you don't want to address, I'm going to challenge you in that area because I want you to be free in that area. Let's go. Let's go get it. Are you going to stay and fight forward even when it makes no sense? Or are you going to turn around and walk with him no more? Elevate your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you that you are moving in our lives. I thank you that sometimes we could just sit and just enjoy the work you're doing. Lord, I thank you for this passage. I thank you that it could be challenging. But I thank you that you want more from us, that you know what you have put inside of us, and you know the places you could take us. Lord, we thank you that we're already yours. You're not going to love us any more or any less if we rise to the occasion or if we crumble. But Lord, we thank you that you desire us to pursue after righteousness. For those of us who are sitting here, for those of us online, who are ready to stop being stuck and take that next step, Lord, guide their hearts, guide their minds, show them amazing things. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.